All right, shall we?
Yes.
Hello and welcome to a special bonus edition of the Sprocket Podcast. This is the place where we simplify it, the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Brandon Rhodes, and we are broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
We're covering day-to-day life, food, alcohol, bicycles, and alternative transportation, communications, the internet, tweeting birds, and barking dogs.
That's right, and skateboards being banned from the West
Hills. That's right, that too.
What was that?
What?
Is there some guy that's really angry about skateboards?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a fellow in the West Hills of Portland who would like to ban skateboarding from happening on those hilly roads. Evidently, a lot of people enjoy a bit of lugeing, and it's more upright variants on those roads.
The upright
and I think there's also a clause in there, probably pretty well targeted at zoo bombing.
Okay, right, because the zoo bomb takes place in the West Hills every Sunday night after all the respectable people go to bed.
Inebriated grease clowns on small bikes.
It's fun.
Gargoozling down hills.
Yeah. Well, and this, I believe at some point, if it hasn't happened already, Pedalpalooza has the event, which is the Zoo Bomb Century, which I believe is the first person to reach 100 miles of zoo bombing. So it's a long, long
That's
time.
That's a lot of up and down. reminds me of, never mind. Boy, I was too excited. I didn't know how to begin that joke.
That's it.
Okay.
The problem with Pedalpalooza, I was thinking about this the other day, is that there's always a number of amazing, fun, great sounding rides that sound like I would like to do this. And then real life comes in and says, actually, you've already worked a full day, you need to go home and eat dinner, and then you need to go to bed.
It definitely is prior. the full immersion is only possible for those who are dynamically employed and constantly caffeinated.
Exactly, yeah, which actually suits you pretty well.
Yes,
you could be going to every Pedalpalooza event that exists.
I would feel so self-conscious of being a scenester. I think I'm too much of a critical old bastard to go.
No, all right.
Just here to be with strangers having fun. I just would never do that alone.
Right. Well,
I would never go to any of these things alone.
That's the other thing that I've kind of come up with is that I would like, maybe with the exception of the World Naked Bike Ride, I don't mind being naked in public, but being naked around my friends in public would be weird, I think. So I choose to go on my own, I think. But yeah, all things being as they are, that was kind of what happened last night. It was like there was the Rocky Butte dance party, which I saw pictures of later on the internet.
Yeah.
It sounded like a great deal of fun. I really wanted to go, but I would have been the only one of my friends that would have been there. And you can go to a party like on your own and make friends, but I didn't have the social energy.
Yeah.
Ah, so, well.
No.
But roll on, Pedalpalooza, roll on. There was a story about some person on the back end of a Pedalpalooza ride that was, I think they were doing the corking where someone stands in an intersection and allows the full group to pass by while they're kind of warning the motorists with green lights that there are still bicycles passing through. So you got like 1,000 bikes going through an intersection and they start on a green light, but then the light changes and like, you know, what are you going to do? So a guy was corking it and towards the end, I believe he was obstructing the intersection and there was a cop in the intersection, like watching him cork it and he got a big ticket. So
I hope
sad
they
news.
All covered up as they paid it.
I hope so. Yeah. That would actually be a great story of people coming together to take care of a problem. So
that had something like that happened to me, a remarkably similar thing.
Is that right?
Yes. In Eugene, I got a ticket for running a red during a critical mass.
Oh,
in 2005.
Oh yeah.
And somehow I was thrust into the front of it all. Everybody kept fading to the rear. And we went down way more streets than I wanted to. And we were getting pissing off way more suburbanites than I wanted to.
Right.
And then by the very end of the ride, we're 6 blocks away from the end of it all. I'm pushed into the front.
You're the poster
boy.
We
take a right off of, I think, High Street onto 18th. And a couple cop cars come from our left catch us turning right on red.
Okay.
Without coming
which
to
is
a full
illegal.
And complete stop. Yes. And so I got a ticket in the wonderful hippies that live at the Lorax, which at the time it was and possibly still is a Eugenie style, you know.
Nice.
Eco hippie commune kind of thing, and right on Greek Row. Anyway, they did bake sales to pay for the three of us who got tickets.
That's
pretty
cool.
It was very decent of them, and thank you to any of them who are listening.
That's fantastic. That would be the first time I think I heard that story from you.
Yeah, they got me like $120. They covered almost all the ticket.
Wow. Yeah, and how much is a ticket for running right? Running a red light.
Pleading guilty, first time offender, it was like 170 or something.
Okay, that's pretty steep. I guess, yeah. Got to watch out for
that.
That's
what I remember
anyway. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you got that covered. And I'm glad the people from the Lorax were there to help you. Yeah, yeah.
They did a big sale.
That's super cool.
That's so cute of them.
Yeah. So they covered like all three of the tickets. They were like
splitting the proceeds
evenly.
I had the smallest ticket for some reason, so I didn't get as much. But the other there was one guy who was well over 200, I think.
Ah, poor fellow. Well,
evidently it hadn't been his first.
Yeah, I guess. Well, hey, here we are. This is the last episode of the Sprocket Podcast where we're actually sitting together in the room talking. Everything after this is going to be canned for like 8 or 9 weeks.
Yes, it is not the last Sprocket.
We're going to keep going when the fall returns. And actually, I think the very first will be when Adele and I sit down to tell our stories from the road.
Ah.
So that'll be fun. Yeah. But
I'd like to save. I don't want to hear the stories directly from you outside of the interwebs.
Oh, really?
Face to face until that episode.
Okay. All right. We'll do our best.
I'll interview you both if that's all right.
Okay. So when I arrive home,
I'll be like, whoa, where'd your arm go? Wait, don't tell me.
Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds – I'll save up all of our stories.
And I'll interview in that voice.
I won't tell you a darn thing.
Good. Okay.
That's what I won't do. So anyways, we are here. This is kind of a mopping up the emails sort of thing. A lot of folks have sent us letters and that sort of thing. And I didn't want to leave town without responding, at least saying, hey, thanks for the email. So this is – I don't know if this is going to be a numbered episode or if it'll be like a bonus episode or like
– You can put a number on it.
I'll put a number on it. It might have like an A at the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're also going to sit down with the folks from Transportland after the – what's it called? The disaster relief trials leaving from Velocult at 10:30 on Sunday, and the zombie apocalypse ride, which is also leaving from Velocult. So
it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, definitely. If this happens to hit before that and anybody hears this, come out to Velocult at 10:30 in the morning. It's on basically 42nd and Sandy. And it's a beautiful time, I think. There's going to be a George Romero flat change challenge.
Woo.
In which you must remove your wheel, take off the tire, replace the tube before the zombies get you. There's also an event in which you bash zombie skulls. I think they're made of paper mache with a U-lock.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, totally. This is all Russ and Laura. And I think that was our episode last Sunday was our interview with them. So anyway... Anyway, that's what's going on. So, shall we wade into the email, hip deep into the start emails?
Only if you hit the sound button.
Okay, hang on a moment.
Nope.
You've got mail.
Oh wait, sorry, that needs to be louder.
You've got mail.
Not for your benefit, because I know you hate that. Yeah. We got to come up with a different mail thing. Maybe I'll do that over the summer. Maybe I won't. So, just for everybody's benefit that can't see what we're doing, I'm on one computer looking at my email box, and Brandon is on another computer looking at my email box, and we're just going to go through the stuff that's there. So,
just so you know, it's not quite as efficient a system as we usually have.
Yeah, this isn't, it's not super exciting. This is something you sent me then, I guess. This is also going to be what? Our headlines as well.
Yeah.
It's all going to be mixed together. It's a mixed bag,
what
if you will.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
There we go. So, this is how we ride. It's a New York Times article. You sent this to me, Brandon, and I looked it over, and this was David Byrne from the Talking Heads talking about bicycling in New York. And he, of course, famously does not have a car. And he also says here that bike paths equal jobs. Is there anything else that we should highlight on this article?
I don't remember when I sent that to you. I don't remember anything about it.
Easy enough. Well, it is David Byrne.
We're off to a great start.
He's famous. So, and now you can understand how this segment is going to go. Let's go back. Oh, the Willamette Week article in this same email exchange. Aaron Mesh from the Willamette Week here in Portland, Oregon, rode TriMet for 3 days, pretty much nonstop, 242 miles on public transit. Here's who I met. And, we can't get into all that because we've got a lot to cover.
But
yeah, super cool. I love the idea that someone just immerses themselves into whatever they're near. All right. Logan, he sent us an email. He said, hey, well, that looks it looks like it's all inside baseball. We'll skip past that.
Then we're flying.
That's it. Rance, I believe that's how you say his name.
I have no idea where you're at.
Oh, sorry. It's in the email box at the bottom of the start emails. It's a notification from the Facebook. And this was one that someone posted on the Sprocket podcast wall. Did you put this up, the cycles of life diagram?
Is this how many things we're going through? This is crazy.
Oh, we'll see. Okay. We may skip over a lot.
I'm just following your lead.
Oh, okay. Did you put the cycles of life image?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so this is what happens like when you're growing older and having cycles. And it's what the idyllic youth on a tricycle, awkward adolescence on a too small bike, experimental phase on a high wheeler, courtship on a tandem, parenthood with a trailer behind, midlife crisis on a tall bike, which is, I think, where I am.
Yes.
So, yeah.
The sparkling age of pre-30.
Totally, yeah. So anyways, on Facebook, Rance says he may need a tall tandem recumbent with only one wheel that has the ability to pull a kiddie trailer. Lol, just kidding. And then Darren from Australia says, well, he's got the courtship and experimental phase arse about. Time to get back on track with parenthood, Brock.
And the Sprocket podcast said, LOL.
That's right. Yes. I think that must have been me.
And this has been another installment of Brandon and Brock look at JPEGs and read the comments lines.
Totally.
On Facebook.
Exactly.
We're simplifying the Facebook experience for you.
Yes, we are.
So transcending the visual.
This one here, I think I sent to you, Brandon, the Touring Con Man.
Oh, yes. I read this.
You read about this?
It's
yeah.
Fascinating.
I've been following. I read the comment threads, too, because it was fascinating. But Bike Portland reported about a guy who apparently there's this. He purports to be Australian, may or may not actually be Australian. He rides around and always has bike problems, and so he gets people to pitch in money and things.
Like, oh, somebody stole my panniers while I was using the restroom at this park.
Right, or kind of as reality might be closer, apparently playing video poker and drinking beer in Ashland. So,
damn.
Anyways, the way that this has all fallen out has been... It's been troubling to certain people because it seems like he's not being entirely forthright. And the number of comments on the Bike Portland website of people who said, hey, I have actually seen this guy before, were like, you know, close to 50 people, I think, or something like that. Maybe not that many, but a lot of people over the years have said, hey, this guy is not entirely forthcoming. So
have you had experience with con men before, Brock?
I don't think I've ever had a bicycle touring con man experience. I always wonder, you know, because I like to be charitable when I can. Like if somebody's like panhandling or something, I like to be able to help them out. But I'm always curious about where that money is going to. And it's a big question around charity, like whether or not you should actually care. Like, you know, if somebody's asking and you have extra, should you just help them out? Should you just share? You know, so I'm not sure. I'm sure I've been swindled once or twice. I actually bought speakers in college from a guy in a white van who I think had stolen them and was just like, hey, you want some speakers? $200. So, yeah, have you ever been conned?
In high school, when I worked at the zoo, I was taking the Max back home, and this guy was like, hey, my van broke down, and I came down here from Seattle to, like, see my girlfriend, and, like, my van broke, and, like, she took everything I had, and, like, I'm stuck down here now, and I'm just trying to get away back up to Seattle. And I was like, oh, sorry, man, I don't have any cash. And then a month later... Different Max station, same guy.
Oh, yeah.
Tells me the same story. And
same
story. I'm like, he's like, so can you give me anything? I'm like, no. He's like, well, why not? It's like, what do you mean, why not?
Because I gave this to you two months ago.
No. What I said was because you told me this story a month ago.
Yeah.
And he just had the fiercest look in his eyes. It's like, come on, man.
Like, oh, you found me out.
Well, yeah.
Now, it seems like the con thrives best in a place where people are always like traveling through and not staying.
Yeah.
Like a beach town or something. I think that actually did happen. I forgot about this, but that happened to me in Long Beach, Washington, where I was like tooling around playing video arcades and that sort of thing. Wait, video arcades, that's an adult establishment. I was playing arcade games. like, you know, pinball and that sort of thing. And a fellow was like, hey, I ran out of gas. He's got like a gas can and everything.
Exchanging my tickets for lollipops.
Exactly. So I helped him fill his gas can with gasoline. And it turned out he had been hitting people up kind of up and down the strip all day. And some friends of mine who were also there in a different spot kind of bumped into him as well. And so I ended up buying him gasoline. Other people did not. But yeah.
Placelessness, rootlessness, and transience.
Right.
Are metonymous of...
well put.
Damn, I didn't know how to land it.
Of stuff and things.
Social fragmentation that people can leverage against you.
There you go. Well done. Well done.
Put down roots.
There's a message here on Facebook. Oh, no, if you want it, yeah, please
do. No, it's all right. It's all
okay.
Right.
There's a message here from Facebook. Rigel says, has Brandon rafted Johnson Creek yet? That
not
sounds
yet.
Like fun. And you have not.
I'm waiting for it to be hot outside.
Definitely. It hasn't really been that hot yet.
No, but I'm worried that the water levels are descending.
That is the problem with Johnson Creek is that like through our neighborhood, it's really deep. It's a big channel. Farther down towards the Willamette, it gets kind of stony. And
no, I bet I can get Lewis to come down here and do that with me this summer.
You should. You should, yeah. Lewis, our gardening friend and all-around adventurer, he likes rafts.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And he went with you on the last raft camping trip you took.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good idea.
Thank you for the reminder.
Definitely.
Fair listener.
Well, I thought you were thanking me for the reminder. Thank you, Rigel. Tom's bike trip. He's moving along. He's got some great pictures. I can't remember what this one was about. They've been taking the Lost Coast. Yeah. The Lost Coast down in California, which most people do not ride because it is
lost.
Mm-hmm, well, yeah. And the main thoroughfare goes inland from there. Mm-hmm. It's the least serviced place. Like there are not too many places to buy food, places to camp. It's very wild out there. But apparently they actually bumped into some folks on their bike trip while they were on the Lost Coast who were having a Mother's Day celebration. And so they got like free wine and stuff and they got to stay on their houses.
I can dig it.
So that was good. Yeah. Let's see here. Starlight Parade. This is a fantastic picture here, if you can see that.
Yes.
There's a mattress salesman or a mattress business that's delivering mattresses by bike. And I believe they got their entry into the Grand Floral Parade. Transportland, the cargo bike collective here in Portland, tried to get an entry into the Grand Floral Parade and didn't make it. But this guy who delivers the mattresses by bicycle, and what a trailer that is.
Are like funny. Yeah, they look like... 700 bike.
I think, yeah, they're like 27-inch wheels or something, you know, like old Schwinn wheels. It looks like a buckboard from back in the day, you know, back when you were driving horses around town.
Uh-huh.
But apparently they made it into the Grand Floral Parade, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks like a covered wagon, but...
Yeah.
Just
it looks like that's also a tandem.
It's that basic... what?
There's like somebody behind the guy in the front.
It has 2 horsepower.
Yes, exactly.
2 or dude power.
Dude
Fred
power. As the as it may be. Rob Sadowski, he left us a comment. He said, you know, he uses that silver spray, which he injects into his nostrils to combat the bacteria that allergies create.
Oh, yes, we had an uncomfortable conversation about all that.
We did. We kind of opened the episode with that. That was exciting. But he left us a link to the product that he uses. So we've got that.
Rob, do you have allergies? That was a great moment in Sprocket.
Amusing.
Yes.
Well, some of our best conversations come when we don't plan them, right?
Indeed.
Yeah. The San Francisco Bike Music Fest is also at bicyclemusicfestival.com, and we talked about
that's
that.
Straightforward name, huh?
Yeah, totally. I probably could have intuited that. I should have just guessed at it and tried.
Mm.
Anyways, so thank you, Rob, for plugging those for us. Oh, yeah, the George Romero Flat Challenge. Russ from Pathless Pedal put something up on the Facebook about that. The gas station that likes bikes. Did you see this one?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Apparently, these exist in California and Washington. Like, there's at least one in Washington somewhere.
Well, and that one opened up in North Portland or something, or Northeast, right?
Did it? Yeah, I think this is when Jonathan was on, like, vacation or something.
I thought he said there was one in North Portland or something.
I don't think so. Yeah, there are 5 Propel stations in the Seattle area, but so far none in Portland. But, yeah, it's Propel, which is, they offer carbon offsets at the pump. And I'm not a huge carbon offset fan. Like, I mean, if you're making greenhouse gases with your vehicle, that's happening and, you know.
It's a good thing to do in response to it, but the best thing to do
is drive less. So because of that, they've got free air, free bike tools, and other things.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, which is kind of breaking the mold for gas stations. Also, the advertising campaign, this picture down here that I saw was, there's a mom saying, I choose a healthier future for my kids, which is kind of appealing to the family ideals of, you know, keeping places nice for your kids.
They're focusing on the family.
Yes, and then passing things on to the next generation in a way that it doesn't totally screw them. So pretty interesting. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah.
So anyways, go Propel. We hope you come to Oregon soon. The evolution of the bike lane. You sent this to me.
Yes, I did. It's a story on separated bikeways. That's my phrase for them anyway. Putting a buffered bike lane.
Right.
The specific thing they're talking about is something that you can see in a couple places in Portland, and I think it's great, is take parallel parking and just move it over more or less to the middle of the street. So there's two lanes of moving traffic. Then there's a lane of parked cars and with a painted stripe there between that and two ways of bike traffic.
Right. So
that all made sense. Mm-hmm, yeah.
You have separate infrastructure, but on the same pavement as the actual street.
Yeah.
And instead of using, instead of having to pay for special buffering, like, I mean, there are bollards in the picture in this article, but instead of having to actually install new things on the street, you basically just put the cars there and they act as your protection against traffic.
That's great.
Which is kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah. The first time I bumped into that at, near PSU, I was really like, where am I? This is crazy.
Yeah. And downtown in Portland at PSU, I think it's a one-way cycle track, but that's also a separate, you know.
Yeah, it's buffered with the parked cars. And then a left turn lane is more or less a green box in the middle of the intersection.
Right.
And you just pull into and sit there until the light changes and you feel really weird.
I love triggers, man. the little triggers that you park your bike over and they automatically change your light for you.
You feel like you have superpowers that other that cars don't.
Totally. We just got those installed on the Springwater Corridor down at Bell and like Johnson Creek or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
By the Bell Station.
Exactly. So you can actually cross the diagonally, station. Which is one of, I think, two in Portland. There's only the only other one I can think of
Peace
is in the
Park.
Rose Quarter or Peace Park.
That's what it is. Peace Park there.
Oh, that's what it's called. Okay.
There's a big peace symbol of
really?
Shrubberies.
How can I have never noticed this?
You haven't looked at it from Google.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Also, you're probably trying to dodge Freds and vagrants.
That it happens. Yeah.
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 If I can, that's so mean. I'm sorry. I said I would never use the word Fred.
That's okay. No, it doesn't bother
vagrant
me.
Vagrant is a disparaging term.
There was this video that Jonathan Moss put up on Bike Portland about a lady who was up by Sunset and got clipped by a car who was turning right and not looking at the bicycle traffic approaching from his. Well, he was looking left and didn't see the approaching traffic from the right. Anyways, really interesting. A guy caught the whole interaction on his helmet cam as he was coming down the
really?
Down
Can
the hill.
Can we watch that?
Sure. Let me pull this up.
And let's record us watching it.
That's right.
There
oh, here
it is.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've got...
some prolegomena here.
Exactly. It's a subtitled video. And he's just got some of the statistics about what happens at this intersection. So the guy blowing the red light, that happens, and that's lame. A cyclist hits a signal button and waits. Others join for the wait. This is gripping stuff, isn't it?
Oh, man.
It's a lot better with visuals. You know, this actually is the video called Drivers Behaving Badly, which... now they have the light. They're crossing, entering the roadway. One more coming through, kind of late to the signal. Has to hit his brakes because somebody else on a red is just
a car
cruising right through.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah. Jeez, yeah, they do.
One more. It happens all the time. Apparently, this is of course no turn on red or.
Where is this?
They at least have to stop. This is right at the top of Highway 26 where it goes over the West Hills by the zoo. So just above that, the Sylvan
interchange. Okay, I know where that's at.
Yeah. Lights turning yellow. Driver doesn't heed, just cruises right through.
And almost hits a...
Good thing the cyclist checked, even though he had the crosswalk signal, says the creator of this video. Well, anyways, there's probably more of this, but we'll move on. So yeah, the one where the clipping actually happens, I should show you that one some other time. I'll find it here or there.
I wanted to see something like that. No, it's great that people take these videos just to get a little bit of demonstration. So many people chastise bicyclists for running reds, which
right.
is fair and legitimate.
Right.
To criticize us for. But then, you know, it's like, well, you guys do it too.
It has to be understood there are assholes on both sides.
Let's move on from that statement.
All right. Somewhere in the UK, Beehive, the headline here says, I do believe Hive got trouble with my buzz sickle. That's the most pun-infused and worst headline I've ever seen.
I love puns, but that is just...
But it was a swarm of bees that made their home on a cycle basket and tire here on the front. Pretty rough. It made me think of the Oprah bees
thing. Indeed. Yeah. Any reference to bees makes both of us
totally. This is an Instagram photo of stuff.
This entire episode is Brock and Brandon clearing out Brock's inbox.
Right, right. Oh, Johnny K responding to the federal transportation bill. It's making him crazy, and he put a big comment on the Rob Sadowski episode about that. We can't read it all here, but he's been doing some thinking, so that's cool. He is a vegetarian, he says. May get lightheaded from the lack of amino acids. Interesting. Well, good times. Johnny K, thanks for listening.
That's what brags are for.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Damian Day is from New Zealand. He says, hi there from New Zealand. Just dropping you a note to say that I have been listening to your podcast for the last year or so as I ride around New Zealand. I have been slowly catching up on the older podcasts. It's a great podcast to ride to when bike touring. And that's been one of my curiosities as I've been thinking about our audience. Is it actually fun to listen to people talk about bikes while you're bicycling? And apparently so.
That's cool.
Fantastic. Thank you, Damon. We appreciate you listening.
That's encouraging.
Definitely, yeah. Gus recently relocated to Portland. He's a friend of ours who's also a listener. And making your own bike basket out of this webbing and sticky dot stuff. It's kind of cool. Basically, inside the triangle.
That turned out to be way cooler than I was expecting.
Yeah, inside the triangle of your bike's frame, you can throw this webbing stuff around. And I mean, it does look messy, so it depends on how you feel about aesthetics. But as you can see, there's a baguette. There's actually two baguettes wedged into the bicycle's frame area there. And yeah, you can basically wrap this webbing around the frame and do kind of a weave that will allow you to carry things inside the frame.
So like if you've ever... okay, there's no metaphor. Never mind.
If you've ever wanted to carry something inside something else, but didn't have the webbing for it, they show you how to do it.
Or if you're just trying to carry something long that you can't fit on the back rack. Like I had to carry some garden instruments that were about a meter long.
I was going to ask, have you carried a shovel before on a bicycle?
No, but I've carried a hoe.
Have you now?
Yes.
All right. And
it wasn't a joke.
Tim Mooney. He's from DC, and he actually sent us a thing here. He apparently is from Portland at some point, but he spends most of his time in DC these days. He's got a story about Mon Dieu, Fred's in France. Says here, I was riding from the chateau we were staying to a small town about 1,000 meters vertically and a few kilometers away, i.e. best day ever. I am a motherfucking fuck kind of hill. Having successfully climbed up to town on the borrowed bike, I proceeded to bomb down the hill with great expectations. Have you ever wondered what a gazelle feels like when it's being chased down by a pack of lions? I used to. Suddenly, I heard honks of lead cars and the inescapable sound of Fred's whizzing by me down the hill. Yes, I had erroneously chosen the same day as Tour de D-Bag. I didn't have to be Sherlock to determine it was minor race that couldn't seemingly afford to clear the roads of, say, people like me, ahead of the Pelotons du Fred. So, now I'm being yelled at in French for daring to be on their road, quote. And worse, silently passed within inches by the 43rd place D-Bag, who was crouched completely off his saddle to the right of his carbon fiber masterpiece to reduce air resistance. Just enough for his glorious 42nd place finish. I never felt less safe on a bike, but I'm happy to say I added several seconds to their finish times as a result. And yes, I did yell, Malheur Jean-Jamais! At each and every racer because it was a moral imperative. Have a great summer. If you're biking the Oregon coast in August, perhaps we'll cross paths. So, thanks, Tim. Appreciate the story. Good times.
Yeah.
Logan sent us a performance review of tires from Bicycle Quarterly, which haven't actually gotten a chance to look at. But if you've ever wondered how your tires will do on the road, there's a full article about that here.
Infographics. I like that.
Infographics are good. And let's see. I think we're getting pretty close. Dan from the Leech Lake Reservation, he said that being Native American and growing up on a reservation, he went out hunting deer and left a tobacco offering, thanking the deer for its life. Yeah, so he's no stranger to hunting and foraging and gathering, which is kind of cool.
Incredible.
Oh, hey, and then Venmo, you paid me for some food.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Hey, that's the end of what's in our email boxes. So, what? Good news.
That's inbox.
You're taking a lot of responsibility in owning and riding a bicycle. You are now an operator of a wheeled vehicle.
Well, thanks for anybody who made it this far through our, somewhat unplanned episode. We appreciate your listenership. Really glad to have you aboard and look forward to a summer of fantastic interviews with great folks. Brandon, what are you doing this summer?
Gardening, taking some schooling courses, and, next Friday I'm going to leave with Candace to go on a bicycle trip around the Olympic Peninsula.
I'm so excited for you.
Yes, indeed. Do I have anything else going on this summer? Lots of camping.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good summer.
This is the first time you've done the Olympic Peninsula on bike?
At all.
Yeah. At all? You've never been there before?
Nope.
Dude, that's going to be a good ride. There's a bunch of great stuff
as
out there.
As a dye-in-the-wool Oregonian, I did not know that Washington existed until relatively recently. So I'm discovering it.
As you should have.
Yeah. In fact, I've done more bicycle touring through Washington than Oregon now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, congratulations. You're shaking off that eighth generation Oregonian thing that's been following you around. Well, good work, sir. And of course, Adele and I, my wife and I, are going to be out bicycling first to Missoula, Montana, and then south through Colorado. We're going to be stopping through Fort Collins and seeing some of the New Belgium people down there while we're in town, and possibly as far as Albuquerque, depending on how we do. But we'll see. And then a lot of train riding.
Do you really
home.
Think you're going to make it to Albuquerque?
I would like to. I don't know if we actually will, but it sounds like fun.
Because you're trying to choose between landing points related to Amtrak, yes?
Basically, yeah. We have to end somewhere where there's an Amtrak home. I mean, we could also take the Greyhound if we wanted to, but we don't want to. So,
because it's not as pleasant.
Well, the difference between Greyhound and Amtrak is that on Amtrak, you can stand up and walk around whenever you want to. Greyhound, basically, you can only stand up and go to the bathroom, and that's no fun. So,
indeed.
Yeah. That's our plan, though. And if you want to follow along with us, it's I started a blog, Brock and Adele Go Bicycling.blogspot.com. So it'll also show up on my own personal Twitter feed, which is at Brockmon, and other places maybe. So that's what we're up to.
But
looking forward to catching up with everybody in the fall. Well, hey, I think that about wraps us up here. Find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send us your feedback about the program, suggestions for topics, guests, or drinks at our email address, which is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Call us, tell us your touring stories, your summer adventures. Send us a text message. It's 503-847-9774. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music. He's on the internet at myspace.com/RyanJLane. Thanks also to Hurtbird for our headlines music. They are at hurtbirdmusic.com. Well, hey, we've got tons and tons of time before the drums.
Hey, everybody should read The Medium is the Massage by Marshall McLuhan. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
It'd be good for our readers.
Some of it you have to read in the mirror.
Indeed.
Which
there are surprises.
Can be confusing.
Ciao.
Bye.
Am I not merciful?
Well done. So there is no document. Sorry about that.
Damn. Thank you, sir.
Am I not merciful?
And then the coffee's for you.
Oh.
If you'd like them.
Is this neat?
Sure.
Sure. Come on and fail me up. How is the ratio between how much she's hit this key versus this key? Does she never close her brackets?
Apparently not.
I'm reading about this fellow who wants to ban skateboarding and possibly bicycling from the West Hills.
The West Hills. Oh, I heard about this. This was a thing. Yeah, we should mention that.